It's nurturing a relationship with yourself, just as you nurture a relationship with someone else. With your romantic relationship, does your partner need flowers? Like, I'm sure they're going to survive without flowers. Do they need you to take them out on a date once in a while? Like, these things are not something that you need to do, but it's something that makes them feel good and you want to show them their appreciation. So we just need to flip that to ourselves as well.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike DiZio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike DiZio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, PDS listeners and viewers, back to our podcast. We have another great one for you today. So today we're doing something a little bit different. It's kind of like a holiday edition. And we're going to teach you basically, this is based on Thais's work at the end of each year. It's really good to do a little bit of a check on sort of how far you've come and some of the things that you've gone through the year. So we thought today we'd go through these seven questions that you can ask yourself this New Year's Eve. So I'm here today with Peter and Kate, my esteemed colleagues. And we're going to share these seven questions with you that are very introspective and will give you a lot of clarity on sort of where you've been and maybe where you want to go. So we're going to share those questions with you. And then we're going to answer some of those questions just to sort of do a bit of a sweep on our own lives and sort of see how far we've come. So hopefully you find this interesting and definitely encourage you to try it as well and see sort of what's come up for you. So I'll just start out, maybe just a round of introductions. For Peter, do you want to go first to introduce yourself, Peter?
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name's Peter. I am normally the guy who edits these podcasts. So I'm very much a behind the scenes person. So it's kind of interesting to be on camera this time. I think I'd say about my personal development journey really started when I started working for a personal development school. And I took the test to find out that I am secure leaning dismissive. So maybe that's why I haven't done much of a personal development journey yet.
Awesome. I was so curious. I was like, I wonder what Peter is. Great.
Good to know. Awesome. And yeah, thanks for being here, Peter. And Kate, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Kate. I've been a student with the personal development school, then turned employee, and then an IT coach as well. So I've been in the personal development realm for a little while, and I am earning secure, but my test results were fearful avoidant when I first started.
Excellent. Thanks for being here. And we, fortunately, the three of us, along with a couple other people, get to have a weekly meeting together, and we sort of share inner thoughts and feelings and answer these types of questions as well. So this is a treat to kind of to get to do this on the podcast. So to start out with our first question that we encourage you to ask yourselves at the end of the year, and it's, what were you grateful for this year? Things like what you've learned this year, maybe you let go of a relationship that didn't serve you any longer, a powerful life lesson, career growth, maybe you changed your career. So pick really anything that sticks out for you. So I'll open it to the floor, Peter or Kate, whoever wants to jump in. What were you grateful for this year?
I'm happy to start. So I actually took on a new challenge of every night writing three things that I'm grateful for. And it's a really interesting exercise if anybody wants to try that in the new year. It's just writing those three things and then looking back at the end of the year to kind of determine what kind of showed up the most. And for me, it was some of my closer friends that I speak with daily. So they came up a lot, obviously, because they're in my life a lot. And then the fact that I have a pet came up. And then also just more creative pursuits like dancing, drawing, going for walks, going to a good coffee shop. Those were really simple pleasures that I was grateful for. Simple, but just something that I noticed came up consistently.
Yeah, I know. It's those simple sort of daily things that you get to enjoy that add up to the whole year of feeling, you know, a big sense of appreciation. So those are great ones for sure. Peter, do you want to share what you were grateful for this year?
Absolutely, with the little things, because it's the everyday experience. Like if you wait for the big things to be grateful for, you're just constantly waiting to be grateful. My big thing this year was my cats. I actually adopted 3 kittens, and I've had cats before, but I went for a period with no animals, and I didn't realize how much I needed them in my life. And the wonderful things about kittens is they force you to be in the moment. So it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If they need something, they want something, you have to be there. Even just taking a break from work now, when I leave the room I work in, so I work from home, the cats will often run to me for affection. And there's just that moment of, I have to stop what I'm doing, pet them, and you just have to be there. And it's changed the pace of my workday in the best possible way.
I love it. I couldn't think of a better distraction than 3 kittens. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. And for myself, I would say, this is going to sound cliche, but I'm going to say family. And I'm going to say that because I've been away for a couple of years, as you guys know, traveling around Mexico. And I came home for a period of 4 months. I was actually supposed to only be home for 2 months, but it ended up being 4 months. And I guess not see, me and my family were not the super closest, but not having seen them for 2 years, being home in that short period of time, it was such quality of time together rather than quantity. So, you know, it's really true what they say, you know, you appreciate what you don't have when you don't have it, or, you know, after the fact, you're like, wow, I had a really good thing there. So I think having that time away and then being back with them really showed me that, you know, I appreciate them and they appreciate me. So yeah, I'm going to go with the easy one with family for sure. Okay, so question number 2, and again, we encourage you to ask this to yourself as well, and that is, what were some of the hardest challenges you faced? So in doing this, you know, you want to validate yourself. It's okay if you felt really challenged or were struggling a lot this year. A lot of people did. And change can be really tough. Some people had to go through a lot of different changes. So, you know, it's just important to list any big challenges that came up for you this year. And again, validate that it was tough and it's not something that was easy, but this is something that happened. So, you know, a little bit more serious of a question, but Peter or Kate, do you want to jump in there? Any challenges or anything you had to face this year?
I'll jump in here. The single biggest thing was my wife had a serious health scare at the end of last year. So thankfully it worked out and she's fine. But there was the beginning of the year in particular, there was some mental health issues as a result of that. And it was a combination of, you know, she went through a lot, but then I had to go through a lot because figuring out how do I support her properly and, you know, kind of adjusting my lifestyle to her needs for a while. And then on top of that, she learned recently that she's got ADHD. And this late in life, we're late 40s, it was eye-opening. It's amazing how much it's affected her. And in the process of her learning about things, I learned about things and realizing, you know, what I was doing that was helping, what I was doing that wasn't helping. And I've learned a lot about myself through the intention of trying to help her and the challenge of how do I actually put what I've learned into practice? Because it's so easy to learn something, but then fall into old habits. The single biggest thing is like, how do I become a better husband?
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Peter. That's definitely sounds challenging. And, you know, I hope things are getting better with your partner, and definitely lucky to have a person like you. So that's really great. Kate, do you want to share a challenge that you had this year?
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of in one. So I am in the process of learning my lessons from it. And because I'm so immersed in kind of the personal development realm, my friends had to stop me and be like, hey, stop trying to analyze this until you're through it. And I was like, wait, I just need to figure out what the lesson is. Yeah, basically, currently, I guess I'm going through a move, and I recently had a loss in my family at the same time. And I'm really learning in that process. I saw something that in an email actually that I received recently that was, you learn who you can lean on when you need support. And the first person that you should think of is yourself. And that's something that I guess I'm kind of learning through this process is like I have people around me who are willing to help and willing to support me. Though at the end of the day, like I need to be there to support myself. So I've really been leaning on one, the tools that I know. So emotional regulation, eating, sleeping, drinking water, having supplements, that kind of stuff to just make sure that my body can kind of move through what's happening right now as well. And yeah, I think that that's much different than how I would have handled it in the past. I really am doing my best not to slip into victim mentality and to really just be like, what can I control? And I think that was probably the biggest lesson that I've learned through the challenges this year is just to be like, what is within my control? And a lot of that is letting go of how other people are acting, how, like, what is happening around you, things that you just really don't have a whole lot of influence over. So yeah, that's mine.
Sounds like you're handling it as best as possible. And the fact you're still trying to take care of yourself while you're going through this, you said, you know, drinking water and getting enough rest and stuff like that. What were you gonna say?
You'll see me drinking water during this. Yeah, all of my stuff is taken down around me, so I was trying to find a background and I'm like I have nothing. Right. Yeah, it's an interesting period to be in right before the end of the year, but I think it's just kind of a good place to be for fresh starts. So yeah.
For sure.
Taking care of yourself is everything. It's like the oxygen mask on the airplane. You gotta put it on yourself before you put on someone else. On that note, I would say as somebody who comes in and works for Personal Development School just a couple days a week, I'm amazed at how supportive Personal Development School has been. It's been unlike any other employer I've ever worked for in terms of supportiveness. For those listening, if you don't know Personal Development School, the people there in my experience walk the walk for all of the talking of the talk that they do. And it's been very impressive.
Thanks, oh, that's nice. Yeah, definitely. We try our best. It's been great having you on board. And, you know, you said you came from a background with not much personal development in it. And, you know, when you share with us in our small groups, I learn stuff from you and you share things that sound very evolved or like you've done personal development work. So I'm glad, though, you've learned a lot with us. And yeah, we keep trying to grow and evolve ourselves while we're at this company. So it's pretty cool. Great point. Okay, just to share my challenge this year was I was selling my first property that I'd ever bought and then had to sell. The sale went sideways and then there was a lot of challenge and I was only supposed to be back in Canada for 2 months. And yeah, the reason I was here for 4 months was because this house sale was sort of going sideways. And yeah, I was getting into victim mentality and saying, why me? And oh, when's this going to end? And I thought I was going to have to spend winter in Canada. We all know about winter in Canada. If you can avoid it, that's a lot better. In the next question, I'm going to talk about sort of what you learned and how you grew from it. So I won't get into sort of how I learned from it, but just wanted to share that, yeah, that was a really big challenge at the time. I just really felt like, why me? Why is this happening? This isn't fair. And I was getting really, really sort of down on myself. So it was a little bit of a lower period, but stay tuned and I'll share with you sort of how I mitigated it and how it ended up being a positive. So that was my challenge for the year.
We jumped ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. So question number three you should ask yourself is, what did this year's challenges teach you? And I know both of you kind of touched on that a little bit, but maybe I'll ask you if you could expand a little more. And, you know, when you're asking yourself this question, you want to ask kind of, what did they teach you about yourself, about your life, or what lessons were there for you to see after? And when we can extract the lessons from a big challenge, we can heal faster and more efficiently. It's actually shown, you know, when you can actually pluck out the good things and how you grew and what you learned, you're going to sort of lessen that period of being so like impactful, the challenge that you faced. So let's talk about how we grew and how we learned. What did this year's challenges teach you? Peter or Keith? Or I can go first since I just talked about mine.
You left us on a cliffhanger.
Okay. Yeah.
I've heard the bad stuff. What was the good stuff that came out of it?
Yeah. So while I was there selling the house, because it was away from home and away from family, it wasn't until that I just really accepted the situation. Said, you know what? I'm healthy right now. I have a roof over my head every night. I have food. It wasn't until I accepted the situation and said, okay, I'm probably going to be here a lot longer than I expected. So then I just started introducing the things into my life that I know make me happy. So I joined a local gym there. I went to a couple of meetup groups. I was hanging out with some people that I hadn't seen in a long time. So really, it wasn't until I really surrendered to like acceptance of this is what's happening. This is where we're at. You could either make the best of the situation or you can sit there and really complain and say, why me? Why me? And really just that shift of choosing to accept this is where things are at. It actually became a really pleasurable last few months. And I got to meet some amazing people and got in pretty good shape 2 months at the gym. So what it sort of taught me was the importance of kind of resilience, just still being able to be okay within a not ideal situation. So it just showed me that, you know what, there's going to be situations in your life that are not ideal, but you could either make it, you know, really painful and suffer on it, or you can just make the best of it and kind of surrender that this is where things are at right now. So that's kind of what I learned in that lesson.
Nice.
So yeah, what did this year's challenges teach you guys? Anything above what you shared before?
I'll go. I learned, I guess it was two things. One was asking for help. I didn't think I had a problem asking for help, but I was in a situation where I had no choice. I wasn't capable of doing everything I needed to do on my own. And it was amazing how understanding and how supportive people were in actionable items, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't just somebody saying, hey, let me know if you need something. People went out of their way to do things for me, make accommodations. Work-wise, my schedule had to shift, and client after client after client was totally understanding about my situation. And that was one of those, it hit me that I'm clearly attracting the right kind of clients if everybody understands and when things go sideways and they're willing to accommodate. And then my family was like my family and her family. I had her brothers and sisters and parents reaching out to me to make sure I was okay, which actually leads into my second thing was learning where I had to take care of myself, that self-reliance, that self-care. I couldn't take care of my wife 24/7 because I realized I was burning myself out. You know, I had to take time to myself. It was okay for me to disappear into my office for an hour and a half and just watch a movie as an escape to get away. And I had family members like, do you want us to come by so you can just go for a coffee? It was one of those things where just realizing, I didn't realize I had done it, but I built a support network of friends and family that was phenomenal. And I learned, and it's something that I still struggle with, making time for myself. I'm very extroverted. I'm very outgoing, and I get a lot of energy from interacting with people, but I do need quiet time to myself. And I had trouble asking for that up until this year, and realizing, you know, no, I just need to go somewhere for 2 hours and read, and I don't need to feel guilty about that.
Wow, that's massive growth for sure. And just like that must have felt so good, that sort of proof that people are there for you. I know it's scary. I know it's scary for me to ask, you know, for help, but you took the brave step and did it. And just to see how many people stepped up, that must have sort of renewed your faith in people, that people actually want to help you.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest. The pandemic, I've always been a very optimistic person and thought the best of humanity. And during the pandemic, my view of human beings shifted radically for the worse. And it's weird that what was probably the worst period in my personal life made me turn around and have faith in human beings again. Wow. People are genuinely good and they want to help other people. And I lost that for a couple of years.
Wow. What a gift. That's amazing. And Kate, did you want to share what the challenges taught you, or what did you learn from your challenges?
Yeah, I think understanding myself, like I'm always kind of looking into things like this in different angles. But yeah, the acceptance portion and how I'm less likely to accept stuff like for as they are. I'm like, okay, cool. How can I fix it? How can I do something? Da, 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 da. And some things you kind of just have to let go and surrender, as you mentioned. So I really related to that. And I guess also something that I learned very recently when I was kind of struggling with taking action or knowing how to take action or make decisions during periods of high stress, particularly ones that are aligned with my values and like how I want to live my life, was being able to identify exactly what the problem is so that you can address it accurately and accordingly. So I listened to this fabulous podcast. So I relate to your wife, Peter, that I like also have ADHD. And something that I was like, that was constantly coming up over and over again with everything that was happening was that I'm overwhelmed. And I was just like, okay, I'm experiencing a lot of overwhelm right now. And the way that I'll have to figure out exactly where this resource was, because I listen to a podcast every day. So it was one of those podcasts. They were basically saying that when you kind of lump a problem into one word, that to overwhelm means that you've got a lot on the go, right? And yes, I did, but I feel like it was more of the not knowing what to do was the problem, how to take action versus just feeling like you have too much on your plate. So once I kind of identified that it was that, then it's like, okay, cool. What action steps do I need to take from that point? So if I don't know what to do, how can I give myself more clarity on what to do? And how can I create a sense of certainty in my actions that I can control, those types of things, versus just kind of like shutting down and freezing and kind of like going zombie through life. So that was a really big lesson, I think, that kind of came through fairly recently, is just how to address certain things and not always approaching them in the same way, that some things have to be approached differently. And you really have to kind of fine tune what the problem is before trying to take action or trying to fix something. Because some things, yeah, you only have so much influence over, as I mentioned. So yeah,
for sure.
You're talking about overwhelm, and that rings so true. Like my wife would say constantly, I'm overwhelmed. And from my point of view, before I realized, or we had realized she had ADHD, I didn't understand, why are you overwhelmed? She would have a day off with no responsibilities and she would feel overwhelmed. And I was like, what are you talking about? And now I have a much better understanding of what that is and how debilitating it can be.
Yeah, just to like add on to that for what I was saying is essentially, yeah, you might not have a whole bunch of stuff on your plate. And I'm assuming that part of this could also ring true for people who have trauma, where if you are trying to figure out, if you have a day off and you're sitting there and you don't know what to do, that not knowing kind of puts you in a state of paralysis. So then you just feel like you just end up sitting there for the whole day, or you'll be like, I'll put on the show, but it's like, I really should be doing something. And then you feel guilty, and then it gets worse, and then you get stuck. So it was that, figuring out that piece of what I was dealing with. So instead of just being like, oh, I'm really overwhelmed with everything that's happening right now, it would be that, oh, I don't know. Like I was looking for an apartment at the time and I was like, I don't know if this apartment has this feature or something, right? And it's like, well, you can ask. Like, you know what I mean? So it's using communication, using introspection, using curiosity to be able to kind of figure out how to move through those things, I guess. Yeah.
I just want to touch on the overwhelm part as well. I feel like I have ADHD as well. I haven't been diagnosed formally, but when I look at a lot of the symptoms, I feel like I have a lot of them. And definitely get overwhelmed sometimes. And outwardly, people are like, oh, Mike, you're so chill. You're you seem like such a calm, peaceful guy. But on the inside, sometimes I'm a freaking mess. Really, there's a lot going on in there. But also when I find myself comparing myself to others, so I'm like, why am I overwhelmed when I know like my coworker has a million things on my plate? I know my other coworker is doing X, Y, Z and so many projects on the go. I think when I first started at the company, I was judging myself for feeling overwhelmed. But I know that my version of overwhelm is going to be so much different than someone else's. So really, if you're feeling that overwhelmed, don't judge yourself. That's probably one of the worst things you can do. And Peter was saying about his wife, we can't judge other people for feeling overwhelmed, because we might look at them and be like, what do you mean? You had like one thing to do today. But if you're really to talk to them and dig deep, you'd find out sort of the internal processes going on. And, you know, there's trauma and there's things going on there. So just, we got to be definitely gentle with ourselves if we're feeling overwhelmed. And you don't have to be the CEO of a company to feel mass overwhelmed.
Yeah, no. And the judgment, I think, is a huge thing. It certainly doesn't help the situation. It doesn't make things better, but it's really easy to just say, well, don't judge yourself. So it's that matter of figuring out how do you. Yeah, I mean, and that's an ongoing battle.
Definitely.
I agree with that. I think the validation piece too of just understanding yourself and where you're coming from helps with that too.
For sure. Okay. I think we all resonated with that question there. So, question four of your year-end inventory, what are you proud of? So, is there anything that sort of jumps out in your mind? And just for our viewers, some things you can think of when you're asking. You know, we tend to minimize or not really acknowledge how much we've overcome, how we've grown from our challenges. And then a lot of times we don't look back to see how much we've learned and grown. So you definitely want to see, okay, what could I do now that I couldn't do last year? So can you guys think of anything that you're proud of in 2023?
I always think back to one of my clients is a motivational speaker, and he had a quote I heard 4 years ago, and it stayed in my head. And it was always celebrate the little victories. If you wait for the big ones, what a boring life you will have. So it is the little things that I honestly am the most proud of. Career-wise, I worked on a project that was incredibly complicated, and I did it on my own and sent it to the client. It was one of those. I don't know. I lost perspective. Is this any good? And I got an email back within an hour that they absolutely loved it. So that was incredibly satisfying. I spoke at an event, and it's such, this is such a minor thing, and it was one of the highlights of my year. I spoke at an event for the Michael J. Fox Foundation, which, if you don't know, is a Parkinson's research. And I worked in basically a dad joke. It was a bad joke about a DeLorean, which of course Michael J. Fox, famous for Back to the Future. And I got the response from the 200 attendees ranged from laughter to groans to one woman sending a private message that she was in love with me because of how bad the joke was. And it was just one of those, it was the right joke at the to the right audience, and to anyone else, it was nothing. And I'm sure the people that attended, they don't even remember it. But I am so proud of that moment in my life. And I don't know why, but I wish I could print it up and hang it on the wall.
I love it. You could probably just close your eyes and bring yourself back to that moment and feel just what it felt like.
In a little more tangible, I'm proud of the cats that I didn't think I was a cat person, but I adopted three kittens. They were rescues, and the amount that I have changed realizing the responsibility I have for these lives. Maybe it's because I don't have kids, but this was the time where I'm like, I'm responsible for taking care of these cats, and also knowing that what their life might have been if I hadn't taken them. But I'm quite proud of, I guess, how I've stepped up and made the accommodations. And to be perfectly blunt, my life is far better than theirs has. I my life is improved by their presence more than I think
Yeah.
their life has improved with my presence. So it was a win-win situation.
That's a lot to be proud of. That's really great. Kate, any pride moments?
Yeah, it's funny when I completely relate to you, Peter. When I was running the accountability webinar with PDS, I used to encourage everyone every week to share a win. I like basically forced everyone. I was like, tell me something good that happened. So yeah, I think it is the most important thing is to just acknowledge week over week stuff that's a win. I personally think any sort of behavior change or habit change that I like to take note of because I know that that's really challenging for me, particularly because rewriting things that have often been, in my subconscious or in my life for a really long time. And something that I guess has been a challenge and an awareness piece over the past year has been that I definitely have an avoidant streak. So if there's something that makes me uncomfortable or if there's something that I don't want to deal with, then, and this is where you run into procrastination. This is where you run into you'll be scrolling on your phone for like 2 hours when you're supposed to do something. That was something that I was very hyper aware of this year. And a lot of it came down to communication and my ability to go towards a conversation versus away from it. And that was something that I really worked on this year, and I'm proud of myself. There is a couple of little moments. For instance, I'd go on It wouldn't even be like a date or something. It would just be like I'd meet somebody and then I would feel that they weren't really somebody that I wanted to like continue with or move forward with. And I had a choice of whether to just ghost, because at that stage it's like that's quite common. But I, try to make the choice and the decision to move towards it and be like, hey, listen, you're a lovely person, but I wasn't really feeling it and I don't really want a friendship, dating, whatever. I'll just let people know. And the response has been really positive in the sense that most times people just get back and they're like, hey, I really appreciate that. Even in the apartment viewing process, I always let the landlord or whoever I was dealing with know that I wasn't interested, usually within a day. And they would always message back and be like, wow, thank you. And I'm like, oh, do people not do this? They're like, no. So I think that that's something that I'm proud of myself for, because it does make me uncomfortable to sometimes worry about what's the right thing to say. And oftentimes, if I just send something, it's usually enough. So yeah.
Tell you
Some
something.
communication is always better than no communication. I know
I was just say
every
that.
situation.
Yeah, for sure. Even if it's not eloquent, even if it's you fall on your face saying it, saying something is definitely the more important thing. So that's great, Kate. Quickly, what I'm proud of, probably the podcast, because I when I was first doing this, I was really nervous and it took me a little while to get into more of a comfort zone. There's still a level of anxiety when I do these things, but a lot less than before. And even just the fact that sometimes the conditions aren't always ideal because I'm traveling around a lot, moving to different Airbnbs and stuff like that, and just kind of showing up and always getting it done. So yeah, I'd say the podcast is probably the biggest thing that I'm proud of this year. It's been fun and I think it's helped a lot with growth. So
If it hasn't helped any of our listeners, I can tell you it certainly helped me. So I've thoroughly enjoyed working on these podcasts.
nice. That's good to hear.
So I have some exciting news, which is that we are doing $1,000 off of our lifetime membership sale to the Personal Development School, which means you get access to literally everything at PDS for your entire rest of your life. Essentially, that entails all of our different courses you have lifetime access to. I do four live webinars a week, every single week. You can access them ongoing, and you get access to all of our daily community events permanently. So literally access to everything at the PDS platform forever. And if you're looking to find community, you're looking to connect with like-minded people who are also working on their relationships, care about emotional connection and healing, we've got all those different events. And if you just want the security of that ongoing support and connection whenever you need it, that's just on demand, that is there for you. We have that 24/7 sort of component because you can post in our specific chat channels, connect with other community members. And we literally have so many people from across the world supporting each other, helping each other out, and most importantly, really becoming securely attached and seeing the results. So I'd love to see you on the other side, and you can access it by using the link in the description box below.
Question number five, how can you better show up and support yourself this upcoming year? So you want to think about what area of your life do you want to work on the most? So the seven areas of life, mental, is it emotional, intellectual, spiritual, physical, financial, relationships? You want to take a moment to reflect which areas you want to put more focus on nurturing this upcoming year. So for Peter and Kate, is there any area that you think you can show up better in or need to pay a little more attention to and nurture this upcoming year?
I can think of one. So I haven't done this yet. I plan to do it in the next week, but I usually break out my year by months and I'll pick a different theme. But I guess if you were to choose an area of life, one that I can very much identify I want to work on is my relationships. I feel like I focused on finances and mental and emotional health this past year. Just kind of like cultivating that self-esteem and cultivating that self-assurance. And now I am like recognizing that throughout hardship or challenges, as Peter mentioned, I do have people who show up really well for me. And oftentimes I notice that, I'll kind of shift my social plans or I'll be less social when I'm focusing on those other areas. And I want to bring that back into balance and just be able to cultivate more experiences with people. So having my own space and being able to invite people over. And even though, you know, I'm probably not going to be set up for a while, even if it's eating popcorn on the floor, like board games or something like that, because I am really identifying that I can do all this work on my emotional and mental health and you know, take care of myself and be very like independent, but that the social component is also equally important, and cultivating those relationships and making sure that I'm making time for them is also very important. And I think I'm just really grasping, especially recently, just the value of having people in your life and being able to, you know, have them there and enjoy their presence and find that connection between the people that you love. That's it.
I love that. That's great. Peter, any areas you want to nurture or focus on?
Before I get into my, Kate, the one thing I think, the sitting down and eating popcorn on the floor, I wholeheartedly endorse, because I know when I think about the experience that I've had with friends, it's never been the environment, right? Like I had a friend who moved out of his parents' place when he was 17, and he lived in a dive. But when I think about the times we hung out, it was never the state of his couch or the cleanliness of the apartment. It was the time with him. So yeah, don't wait for things to be perfect. Please don't wait for things to be perfect.
Great point. Yeah, so true.
In terms of what I can do for myself, the single biggest thing is my health. I tend to focus on finances and career obsessively. I'm constantly worried about these things, and those are issues I need to deal with. But health-wise, I realized in the last year that I've left the heavy lifting to my wife. I eat healthy because she prepares meals or she plans things out. I got exercise because of situational things. Like I used to, pre-pandemic, I cycled to different jobs I had. Working from home, I don't get any physical exercise. So thing for next year would be, I've got to, health-wise, I have to get some exercise, and I have to start food-wise, actually starting to make meals and doing stuff. Especially my wife has been doing it for so many years. It's probably time for me to step up and learn how to make some healthy meals, as opposed to, oh, I have to make food tonight. Okay, we'll just order a pizza.
That's my go-to most nights. Those are great, great goals there. For myself this year, I think I put a lot of focus on physical and financial. So those areas are pretty good for the moment. So I know for sure 2024, intellectual, embarrassingly, I've sort of let my brain turn to mush a little bit, in the sense that my attention span has gotten very short. So reading books has literally gone out the window for the past, I'd say, year and a half. And I think the pandemic sort of set that off. That sort of put me into a bit of like a fight or flight. So my attention span was very not as focused. So definitely this year, I'm going to get back to more sort of mindful activities, reading. So I want to get more, you know, learn some more things, maybe take a course. So intellectual, I want to sharpen the old brain. And what else? Relationships as well. Again, touching on what I talked about before, like not appreciating what you have until it's not there. I sort of want to tell the people that are in my lives a little more about how I feel about them, because I think I'm just sort of like taking them for granted that they'll always be there. But I think I need to let these people know sort of what they mean to me, and that I recognize all the things they've done for me. So relationships, intellectual, and some spiritual. I want to get back into meditation and more sort of cultivating the inner world and be more spiritual. So those are my focuses for 2024.
Telling people how you feel about them feels weird when you start to do it. And I don't know why. You're saying positive things, but I will say it gets easier. Because I had a friend who, at 18 years old, I was very fortunate to befriend this guy. He found saying I love you very easy, and it realigned things. So, and it felt weird at first to tell a platonic friend that you love them. I was able to normalize it in my life.
I love that.
I would recommend it, but it's one of those things where I fully admit it's a bit weird, but it gets better.
To sort of like circle back to attachment theory and growing up, I guess I didn't get a lot of compliments and appreciation about me. My parents were great, again, but you know, there wasn't a lot of sort of telling me, you know, how I was special or what I did great in this area or that area. So I think, you know, it didn't feel natural. So it doesn't feel natural to do it to others. So I think, the more you do it to yourself as well, if you get in the habit of complimenting yourself and appreciating the things about yourself, then it probably feels a lot more easy to deliver it to other people. But I love your point, Peter, about sort of it gets easier the more you do it. So that's good to know. I'll start now. I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you, Peter and Kate. And appreciate our Thursday meetings we get to have and share parts of ourselves that we don't always get to share. So I appreciate
I've
you
never
guys.
Had a meeting like that in my career. And I've told other people about it. I've got a friend who is an executive at an advertising agency who has taken the personal development school's meeting format and he uses it for his meetings now.
I love it. That's so good. We're lucky. We're blessed. Okay. So question number 6, what fears do you want to work on? So was there any major fears that came up for you this year that you have yet to overcome? And, you can make like a little plan of how you can sort of slowly go to your comfort zone, maybe do some exposure response in that area. But basically you just want to identify, was there any fears that you want to work on? This is a vulnerable one. Does anybody want to share any big fears that they have? Silence.
Well, I'll say scarcity. That's my big thing. I am constantly fighting the, I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to lose my house. I don't know what it is. I constantly think I'm going to run out of stuff. It's that fear of losing, I guess, what I have. Or not, I don't have enough to be safe and secure. So yeah, it's that. That's, I don't have a solution to it other than I had it a bit of an epiphany early in the year where no matter how bad things get, I've always figured things out. So far in my life, I've made it this far. I've always figured something out no matter what happens. So I'm going to have the faith in myself that no matter what happens in the future, I'll figure it out. So that's helped me a bit. But scarcity is my number one thing, especially with finances.
The real fear.
And the avoidant in me. I just didn't deal. One of the best things I did this year was actually starting to use a budget app. And it's been so freeing mentally, just using a budgeting app, but I resisted it for far too long.
I hear like needs. Yeah, you said them for security in there and a budget would definitely help with that. So that's awesome. I think you're setting yourself up pretty good for, overcoming the fear if you're like identifying that it's there for sure.
I don't think I figured out life yet, but in the last year, I figured out more things than ever before. So it's very encouraging.
That's awesome. Kate, any fears you want to talk about?
Yeah, this is probably the fearful avoidant in me, but I'm both wanting to be super vulnerable and then not wanting to at the same time. I definitely feel I have a fear around fully being my authentic self around people who are not approving of me. That was something that really came up over the past month where I can be more like hypervigilant of how people are responding to me. I can be, sort of playing more small in certain areas, because if I were to kind of step into who I am, I would worry about how other people would respond to that. And that's something that I've been working on for quite a while. And I feel it's something that a lot of people can relate to, feeling like I'm going to be judged or I'm worried about like kind of being seen. And that's something I'd really like to work on, because I do think it's deeply rooted, but yeah, something I'm ready to let go of. So
can I ask, in relation to ADHD, do you feel like you're masking a lot?
Oh, interesting. I did identify, if I can share a very short example, that's kind of funny. I did notice that when I was viewing apartments or like in those situations where like it's like I'm kind of meeting somebody for the first time and like I'm kind of pursuing something, I did notice that I wouldn't necessarily say that I was masking, but I do notice when I'm people pleasing, which I think is a form of masking for me, even though I might not have a ton of energy. Like right now I do, which is fortunate, but if I don't have a ton of energy, sometimes I'll be like, okay, and then like jump into something just because I'm like, okay, this is what the situation calls for, but that's not always authentically how I'm feeling. And sometimes it can help me step out of that feeling. It can be like a state change, but then sometimes it's like, hey, I'm actually really overwhelmed and stressed right now, but everything's cool. Yeah, I feel that. Sometimes it can go in that direction for sure.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
something
no, it's
big.
funny because my wife will mask and I still don't always see it because she's so good at it, right? And we'll be in a social situation where she's incredibly uncomfortable. And later on, it'll be like, why didn't you help me out there? And I'm like, I didn't realize there was a problem. Nobody else knew that there was a problem. And she's just so good at masking. But I will say, there's also the beauty of when she drops her guard. You know, I'll walk into the room and she's dancing across the floor to music that she's only hearing in her head. And it's amazing. I absolutely love it. But it's not something she would do in front of anybody else.
Oh yeah, so that's perfect. Mike is probably like, this question is going on a windy road, but yeah, I think that that relates to, I guess, my fear is that I do that. So like I've had previous partners before that maybe have only seen me dance like that on once in a blue moon, because it is something that I do when I'm alone. I do a lot of things when I'm alone that like I don't necessarily show other people parts of my personality. And I think that that's something that I want to invite in. But it's so funny because when I meet another neurodivergent person or there's somebody who's just got similar interests to me, I'll let a little bit more weird out. That's what
Yeah, for
I
sure.
call it. And then that's, yeah, I would say that's probably what I'm bumping up against, honestly, when I'm feeling like I'm seeking approval or that I'm going to be judged, is that like people won't understand me or they'll think I'm strange or I will just think negatively of me. And I think I've really held on to that for a long time. And a lot of it is not showing that stuff. So it will be like being in uncomfortable situations and then just kind of going along with it. And that's where I guess I'm also learning to kind of like retroactively go back and be like, I'm not interested in pursuing this friendship. Because it's like the whole time I was just like, okay, yeah. And then afterwards, I'm like, I didn't like that. Okay. And then I go back and I'm like, hey, I didn't like that. But it takes a minute. It takes a little minute to check in. So, yeah.
Definitely. Side note, we got to do an ADHD podcast. We could talk about ADHD topics of neurodivergence for a
I
long
know it
time.
kind of turned into that by
No, it's
accident.
good. It's good.
As somebody who's neurotypical, I got to say, I've learned so much and realizing how many neurodivergent people are in my life. I apparently attract them. They're my people, even though that's not how my brain operates. And
Interesting.
if nothing else, it's taught me that lots of neurotypical people are absolutely accepting of neurodivergent people. They just need to be aware that that's the situation.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. Okay.
It's
So you're
easier
not,
said
yeah,
than done.
you're not like, well, what the heck's going on here? But when you understand sort of how someone operates, you're like, this is amazing. I love this.
Oh, I lean into it. The weird people. Quick story. I had a friend, I've known him for 25 years, and he's in finance. He's the CFO of a hedge fund or some. I don't even understand what he does. It's so boring. He's told me three times, and I don't hold it in my head. But at one point, I turned to him and said, I'm the weirdest person you know, aren't I? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And if you look at me, I'm glasses and a tie. I have friends where I am the most straight-laced, normal person they know. I've learned very quickly, wherever you think you are in terms of weird, there are people way weirder than you.
Yeah.
And there will be people who love your weirdness.
Very true. Well said. And then just to quickly share, what question are we on? Oh, fears. Jeez, I thought I was gonna be able to skip that one.
I'm
My,
afraid not.
I'm afraid not. Okay. So to be emotional in front of like people, to cry and have an emotional response or reaction, I tend to, if I'm around people or friends or whatnot, if I feel something coming up, I'm very like, nope, not appropriate. Don't emote, don't cry. Definitely don't cry. Like crying in front of kind of strangers, even friends, is something really challenging for me. But I also know that it's very, unhealthy to be suppressing those things. And the strangest thing is, if I see someone cry, especially a male, I think, wow, that's really brave to not be worried about like, oh, people thinking, oh, what a wimp or what a weenie. And I never see them like that. And I think like, wow, that's very strong. So it's my sort of challenge to myself this year to try to cry in front of people, and especially in front of maybe some males as well.
So Peter, would it help you at our next team meeting if we try to make you cry?
Yeah, just to hurl the worst insults you can at me. Yeah, we'll try something. But anyway, that is my sort of focus on trying to overcome that fear.
If you don't mind me just like chiming in, if you want to do that in our next meeting, happy to like
thank you. Sad. Probably not happening in the next meeting. Warm up a bit, but go
what
ahead.
What happened at work this week?
Yeah. I would almost argue that a lot of it is people's capacity to be able to know what to do in those circumstances. So like if you see somebody crying and it makes you uncomfortable, their response to it is completely their own. It's interesting that you're looking at, you know, a man crying and being like, oh, like that's very strong and whatnot. And it's like, yeah, being able to kind of reflect that back to yourself. It's kind of like that fear again of how are people going to perceive me? And that's completely like based on their own comfort level and programming and all that kind of stuff. So it's fascinating. I just immediately thought of, I was having a very stressful week a couple of weeks ago and I was walking home through like a really big city and I was literally to the point of almost, and I do not like to cry in front of people, but I was just really stressed and I was like, it was just that point where I was like, I don't care if somebody judges me. I was like, I'm going to go in and buy a piece of cake and then I'm going to walk home. And like, I'm like, if I have makeup all over my face, whatever. Anyway, that might be stage. If you're at like stage one, that's maybe stage 10. But you can get there, Mike.
I will. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the support. Okay. So last but not least, question number 7. What was the best change you made this year? So was there any sort of tweak, change? Could have been a job change, could have been anything. You want to just look at your life and notice if there was any change that you made that ended up being really beneficial for you. I don't know, it's a tough one, right? Yeah. See, we didn't prep for this, but it's good. We're making a
Well, thing. It's so easy for someone else to see change in you than see it in yourself.
For sure.
Because it's increment. It's like I've got family who live in other countries and I'll notice things about them because I haven't seen them in a year, where people see them every day, don't notice the change, which is all my way of stalling. It's like, I have, think of something. Go, please go.
Yeah, I personally feel like, again, a lot of mine are more internal, but I started watching what language I use with myself and with other people. So for instance, instead of saying I say I can or I could, like just little small things, and just really trying to, and I mean, I'm not perfect with it. There's still days where I'm like, oh gosh, this is really challenging, but really being mindful of how I say things and the language that I use, not only describing myself, but other people. So really having that integrity and in how I'm choosing to speak.
I love that. That sounds very helpful and beneficial. I thought of something as well for change. I find myself, I'm spending more money on myself, which sounds kind of weird, or maybe it sounds a bit egoic, but it's in a good way. Like if you were to look at the Airbnbs I was staying at my first year in Mexico, or the places I was staying versus the second year, I find myself in the last year, I guess it's more worthiness possibly, but I'm investing in myself and I'm realizing if you spend a little more money on your environment, if you spend a little more money on things that make you feel good, you're going to feel better. And even something, this is really minor, but I've been getting beard trims at the barber now. Before I would have thought of that as such a frivolous waste of money, but it's really pleasurable. Like they do like the hot towel and they do the trim and shave your neck and all that. So in the past, and I think it's part of my upbringing too, to be like, oh, well, you don't need that. That's such like an extra unnecessary thing. But I'm starting to realize those things, they make you feel really good. And if it makes you feel good, it's definitely not a waste of money. And, it, you know, if you're sacrificing, you know, your food and stuff for those kind of things, right? But, you know, I have a job, thankfully, and I appreciate that. And I'm in a position where I can spend a few dollars on myself. So I'd say the biggest change this year is just kind of investing more in myself in small things that make me feel good.
Actually, that hits home for me. Spending money on yourself The only thing I spend money on is, as you can see behind me, comic books. It's like my one indulgence. And last year, it's the worthiness thing. I don't know where it came from, to be perfectly honest, but there was that I'm secure. I think I'm more confident than the average person as a secure person, but I didn't realize there are certain areas of my life where unexamined, I didn't feel worthy. I had a friend of mine who found out what I charged a client. And he's like, Peter, with your experience, the profound disappointment in his voice when he found out what I was charging, he's just like, no, you're not valuing your skill. And it kind of realigned me for the second half of the year. And I've seen that kind of ripple into a couple of things where I deserve certain things and it's okay. It's not selfish. You know, I can save time for myself. These certain things where I didn't even realize, I guess that was the big thing. I didn't realize where I found myself feeling unworthy, and I'm trying to correct that. If a beard trim feels good for you, that is one of those things where that's not going to be the difference between you being homeless and not, right? Like, it just never will be. But I see that mindset of, I can't possibly. My office is cold. If I have thick socks on in the winter, I'm more comfortable. And there's a specific thick sock I found I really like. But they cost like $10. And I'm like, when I went out and bought a pair, my wife was like, oh, I'm glad that you thought you were worth the $10 socks. One of those, as crazy as it was, I had to convince myself that this was a good investment and it will make me so much more comfortable for the next 4 months.
I love that. Yeah, it's nurturing a relationship with yourself, just as you nurture a relationship with someone else, with your romantic relationship. Does your partner need flowers? I'm sure they're going to survive without flowers. Do they need you to take them out on a date once in a while? These things are not something that you need to do, but it's something that makes them feel good and you want to show them their appreciation. So we just need to flip that to ourselves as well. We're worthy and deserving of being treated sometimes. So love it.
100%.
Okay, that's the holiday episode. Everyone, we really encourage you to also do this as well. Just a quick recap. The questions are, what were you grateful for this year? What were some of the hardest challenges you faced? What did this year's challenges teach you? What are you proud of? How can you better show up and support yourself this upcoming year? And what was the best change you made this year? We'll put that in the show notes as well. Any last words, guys? Any holiday wishes for our viewers and listeners?
The greatest, and this is me as the person who edits these, the greatest gift you can give is to rate and review this podcast.
Thank you, Peter. I love it. Kate, any last words?
I just encourage everyone to kind of, reflect on their wins, as we kind of discussed. And I know that the beginning of the year can feel really intimidating. Like, a lot of people want to like take on a bunch, but honestly, just making small steps of improvement each year and taking things as they come also works too. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, everyone. Thanks again for listening. I hope you had a great 2023 and have an amazing upcoming 2024. And tune in with us. We've got a lot of good stuff planned. Have a great one. Thanks for being here.